गोपी जन बल्लभागिर्भर धारे गोपी जन बल्लभागिर्भर धारे यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरा बनचारी जमुना जमुना तीरा बनचारे जमुना जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे गोपी जन बल्लभागिर्भर धारे गोपी जन बल्लभागिर्भर धारे यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरा बनचारी जमुना तीरा जमुना तीरा बनचारी जन जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी बिहारी
जय श्री श्री राधा माधव की श्रील प्रभुपाद की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 द क्रिएशन ऑफ द फोर्थ ऑर्डर चैप्टर 24 चैंटिंग द सॉन्ग संग बाय लॉर्ड शिवा वर्स नंबर 31 इदं विविक्तं जप्तव्यं पवित्रं मंगलं परं निःश्रेयस्करं चापि श्रूयतां तद्वदामिव इदं विविक्तं जप्तव्यं పవిత్రం మంగళం పరం నిశేష్కరం చాపి శ్రూయతాం తద్వదామివ ఇదం వివిక్తం జప్తవ్యం పవిత్రం మంగళం పరం నిశేష్కరం చాపి శ్రూయతాం తద్వదామివ. ఇదం వివిక్తం జప్తవ్యం పవిత్రం మంగళం నిశేష్కరం చాపి శ్రూయతాం తద్వామిహం. ఇదం వివిక్తం జప్తవ్యం పవిత్రం మంగళం పరం నిశ్రేయస్కరం చాపి. ఇదం మంగళం పరం నిశ్రేయస్కరం చాపి. జాప్తవ్యం పవిత్రం మంగళం పరం నిశేష్కరం చాపి శ్రూయతాం తద్వదామివ. మాతాజీస్, ఇదం వివిక్తం జప్తవ్యం పవిత్రం మంగళం పరం నిశేషకరం చాపి శ్రూయతాం తద్వదామివ. ఇదం దిస్ వివిక్తం వెరీ పర్టిక్యులర్ జప్తవ్యం ఆల్వేస్ టు బి చాంటెడ్ పవిత్రం వెరీ ప్యూర్ మంగళం ఆస్పీషియస్ పరం ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ నిశ్రేయస్కరం వెరీ బెనిఫిషియల్ చ ఆల్సో అపి సర్టెన్లీ శ్రూయతాం ప్లీజ్ హియర్ తద్ దాట్ వదామి ఐఎమ్ స్పీకింగ్ వ అంటూ యూ. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. Translation. Now, I shall chant one mantra which is not only transcendental, pure and auspicious, but is the best prayer for anyone who is aspiring to attain the ultimate goal of life. When I chant this mantra, please hear it carefully and attentively. Purport. The word Vivictam is very significant. No one should think of the prayers recited by Lord Shiva as being sectarian. Rather, they are very confidential, so much so that anyone desiring the ultimate prosperity or auspicious goal of life must take the instructions of Lord Shiva and pray to and glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Shiva Himself did. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Today a reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Verse Number 31. Translation. Now I shall chant one mantra which is not only transcendental, pure and auspicious, but is the best prayer for anyone who is aspiring to attain the ultimate goal of life. When I chant this mantra, please hear it carefully and attentively. Hare Krishna. So we are hearing this episode in which Lord Shiva, he has given darshan to prachetas and is about to give them transcendental knowledge and initiation. So this particular event in which prachetas are going to receive bhakti is causeless, doesn't have any cause. The transfer of bhakti from an advanced devotee to a sincere candidate is causeless. Bhakti is causeless. Lord Krishna's mercy is causeless. Even when we hear about such events, it's causeless for us. Not that because we are very highly qualified, or we did very lots of pious credits, or we got up early morning today and came here, so that is the cause of our hearing. No. It's pure mercy of the Lord, and we should not ask why to it, because it's causeless. In our day-to-day thinking, we are not used to these things. We are used to seek answers to all our whys. We are used to gather reasons of whatever we experience. Otherwise, it becomes illogical. It becomes something which is beyond our grip. Something unreasonable seems to be foolish. With our intelligence, we perceive things which are unreasonable as foolish. That's why modern science, they believe on this cause and effect relationship. And every single theory or experiment depends on this, that this world and the events happening in this world have a relationship among them. The relationship of cause and effect. So when this happens, then this has to happen, or this will happen, or something like that. But bhakti is causeless. Bhakti is not obtained by some tapasya, or some karma, or some jnana, or some personal endeavor, or some fasting. Bhakti is obtained from another bhakta, one who has bhakti, not by one's personal endeavor of any process. Even Lord Krishna, who being our supermost well-wisher, even he distributes bhakti to other jivas when he comes as a bhakta, when he comes as a devotee. Or he distributes bhakti to other jivas through his devotees. Because these devotees are the one who carry devotional service, who carry bhakti. And when a jiva, when a living entity comes in contact with a devotee, that is the greatest mercy on that living entity. And that is a contact from which he receives bhakti. So we see the prachetas, they were not ready for this. They were just going. They wanted to do austerities. They wanted to please their father. They wanted to receive benedictions so they can generate population. They had this desire. So they wanted to purify themselves so that they are ready for such a great task. So when they're sincere, with the sincere desire, they went to perform austerities. Lord Shiva appeared there to give the direction to their desire, to give them devotional service. And he gave them. He received instructions from Lord Shiva. They received instructions from Lord Shiva. They followed the instructions, and as a result of their following, they received the darshan of Lord Vishnu. This has happened many times, as we read in Srimad Bhagavatam. Like Narad Muni, he came to Dhruva Maharaj, he came to Prahlad Maharaj. By the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narad Muni or his followers are inspired within their heart to go and instruct some jiva. So when Dhruva Maharaj had an ardent desire to receive benediction from Lord Vishnu, then Narad Muni was inspired by Paramatma to go and give instructions to Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was not looking for Narad Muni, but Narad Muni came and caught him. Prachetas were not searching for Lord Shiva, or for that matter any spiritual master, but Lord Shiva came and caught Prachetas. Mrighari was not looking for any sadhu. He was looking for flesh. But Narad Muni came and instructed Mrighari and managed to make him such a great devotee. Prahlad Maharaj was not looking for anything. He was in the womb. What he will look for? But Narad Muni came. He had compassion for the child in the womb. And he gave transcendental knowledge. Narad Muni is the one who gave him shakti to hear the knowledge inside the womb. Though the embryo was not completely developed, but by the mercy of Narad Muni, that embryo can receive and retain transcendental knowledge. When the child comes out of the womb, the pain is so much that the child forgets everything. But by the mercy of Narad Muni, Prahlad Maharaj could retain that transcendental knowledge. When he was born, he was already a devotee. He was already attached to Lord Krishna. He was fully Krishna conscious, always remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like this, there are so many examples. Even most of us, when we first came to Krishna consciousness, were we looking for Krishna? Or somebody came us and invited us with a pamphlet, with a mantra card, with a book? Somebody came and disturbed us on the road, or we got stuck in Rathyatra traffic, and somebody gave prasad. And that is how the mercy started. The flow of mercy is not analytical. Nobody can make an empirical study and a graph and say that, okay, this is how mercy flows from one living entity to another living entity. It's all causeless. Cannot be undeterministic, indeterministic model. Scientists will hate to study this because they cannot grab such things. So here, such an event is again occurring. When we are reading, the Lord Shiva not only gives darshan to the prachetas, he gives his blessings and he gives him one mantra. Lord Shiva says this mantra is supremely beneficial. This will help one who wants to achieve the ultimate goal of life. He is not mentioning here what is the ultimate goal of life, which we know from Bhagavatam is ultimate goal of life is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally. But Lord Shiva also mentions other characteristics of this mantra. He says this is mantra is pavitram, mangalam and param. Pavitram is pure, mangalam is auspicious, and param means transcendental. This param or transcendental means that this mantra or the description or the subject matter is not part of this material world. Even though the syllable, the alphabets, the words and the tongue is part of the material world, but the output of this combination appearing to be part of material world is not part of material world. Transcendental means it is not under the three modes of material nature. Tamas, Rajas and Sattva. Mode of ignorance, mode of passion and mode of goodness. Transcendental means it is from the spiritual world. Param, Divya, beyond this material universe, is not part of the laws of material nature. Something which is from outside, imported mal, imported material, it's not part of this area. Is important. And it's mangalam, auspicious. Means anybody who comes in contact with this mantra, he gets auspiciousness. There is no inauspiciousness in Krishna. Krishna is all good. Krishna is all auspicious. Anything inauspicious happening in our life, we cannot say it's because of Krishna. Or because of Krishna consciousness, or because of practice of devotional service, or because I went early morning Mangalarti, or because I chanted my rounds. If I had not done that, this would not have happened. No, this is wrong. Somebody comes for Mangalarti from outside and gets an accident on the road. Nobody can say, oh, if I had not gone for Mangalarti, this accident would not have happened. Because of Krishna consciousness, there is nothing inauspicious. In fact, everything inauspicious rushes away, is eliminated, disappears when we come in contact with Krishna, when we add Krishna in our life, when we chant the holy names of Krishna. In Vrindavan, during the childhood days of Lord Krishna, whenever there was some danger to the baby, immediately Yashoda and Rohini Mata, they would pick up the baby, they would smear dust from cow's hoof, and they would chant mantras of Lord Krishna. They chant the names of Lord Krishna for protection. Knowing well that once the names of the Lord are chanted, then everything auspiciousness will be restored to the baby. So we see, they didn't know Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it was Vedic culture to restore auspiciousness, to chant the holy names of Krishna. So if you want to invoke auspiciousness in our life, in our family, in our house, you should chant the holy names of Krishna. There is marriage, there is birthday, there is party, or there is death, or there is any reason to celebrate, or any occasion to congregate, we should chant the holy names of Krishna. We should offer worship and obeisances to the deity. We should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We should distribute prasadam to the devotees. And that is auspicious. Any contact with Krishna is auspicious. And pavitram, pure. Krishna is so pure, Krishna's holy name is so pure, that when we come in contact with Krishna, we become pure. Our heart is full of impurities, anarthas, unwanted dirty things. There is lust, anger, greed, there is material desires. There are so many things. And we cannot remove them. No material process can remove this. No punishment, no force, no jail, no rehabilitation center can remove this lust, anger, greed. Nothing in the material world can remove this, because everything inside the material world is impure. And if Krishna's name can remove this, so Krishna's name cannot be part of the material world. So Krishna's name is transcendental. Krishna's name is pure, pavitram. Krishna is a good detergent. Can clean up our heart. No other detergent in the world can clean up our heart. No Ariel, no, what is that? Surf. Or no soap. No water. No cleansing agent. No Agni, Vayu, or so-called mantras, or babas, or ashirvads can clean our heart from these dirty things. No object, no concept, no process in the material world has that capacity. But Krishna. When we come in contact with Krishna, we become pure. There is an example of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had a material desire. He performed tapasya. He approached Vishnu. He had darshan of Vishnu. His material desire was gone. Hiranyakashipu, he had a material desire. He performed severe tapasya. He approached Lord Brahma. He got darshan of Lord Brahma. His material desire was still there. Ravana, he worshipped Shiva. He pleased Shiva. Lord Shiva gave him darshan, his material desire was still there. Even demigods, when we approach, we don't get purified. Just we are fulfilling the material desire legally. But legal sin, legally we are fulfilling. But we don't get purified. But Dhruva Maharaj, he did the similar thing like Hiranyakashipu and Ravan. But the object of his worship of Vishnu, and not only his desire was fulfilled, but he became a pure devotee of the Lord. So no process or no personality who is part of the material world can purify us. So more and more we should try to be in touch with Krishna. More and more we should chant Hare Krishna. More and more we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam, read Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, take darshan and obeisances to the deities, participate in deity worship activities, aarti and all, kirtan. More and more we should be in touch with devotees and Krishna consciousness. The more we do that, the more we continue to be pure. We purify our existence. We purify our heart. We decrease our anarthas. And one day it will be so pure, the Radha Rasberry which is on the altar, he will be visible on our heart. And we say, aap idhar? And he says, hum to kab se idhar hai? I am here since long. But your eyes are covered. And I am so tired. Since so many years I am removing the cover. But you are increasing the layers. Please don't put again. So he is there in our heart. Ready to give darshan. Ready to reciprocate with our friendship. With our surrender. but our heart is covered. Our senses are covered. We are not able to see him. So he says, okay, I am coming out in Jew. At least you come here. At least you come in front of me. At least you practice the process of devotional service. So he's so pure. So when this mantra is transcendental, and we understand only Krishna can be transcendental, when the mantra is pure, and we can understand only Krishna is pure, and the mantra is auspicious, and we understand only Krishna is auspicious, so Lord Shiva is talking about Lord Krishna. Lord Shiva is going to glorify Lord Krishna. And he is saying this is the best activity for anybody who desires the ultimate goal of life. So ultimate goal of life is also Lord Krishna. And the best activity, the best way to achieve this ultimate goal of life is to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kirtanam, Shravanam and Kirtanam. That is what is being taught by Lord Shiva. That is what is taught by Sukadeva Goswami, Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, and all the associates of Mahaprabhu. They are all mentioning the same thing, that we should glorify Krishna. In Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami writes, the essence of all advice is to 24 hours glorify the name, the form, the qualities and the pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna. That is the final goal. That is the earning of the soul. That is what gives satisfaction to the soul. To glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are in the process, a balanced process, so that we can achieve this. So this mantra or this process of glorification, one very important point Srila Prabhupada mentions, that Lord Shiva is giving a mantra we should not consider it sectarian. Sectarian means belongs to one group. Lord Krishna is not a sectarian personality. He doesn't belong to only one group. Only Vaishnavas, or only Hindus, or only Indians. No, he is Jagannath. He is Lord of the universe. He belongs to everybody. Nobody can say Lord Krishna is in my pocket. He is in everybody's heart. He belongs to everybody. Even ISKCON. ISKCON cannot say, we are monopoly of Lord Krishna. Inside ISKCON, if you want to contact Lord Krishna, it is on intercom. Outside you'll have to pay 1 rupee. No, everywhere intercom. Everywhere he is in the heart. Or even any Vaishnava Sampradaya. No, there is no monopoly of Lord Krishna. Even Krishna didn't keep copyright of his Bhagavad Gita. We keep. There is nothing wrong about it. Prabhupada requested BBT to keep. Because there are Prabhupada translations, Prabhupada purports. But the verse says, even Krishna did not keep copyright. So many people comment on Bhagavad Gita. Separate, and that is separate part. So, this process of devotional service, this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, this worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead should not be considered sectarian. We should not differentiate between Krishna in this country, or in this temple, or in this group and that group, or in this heart and in that heart. Not that in my heart the person is Krishna and in your heart I don't know who is he. When he comes to my house, he is my master. When he's in my neighbor's house, I don't care. When he comes to my temple, he is my worshipable deity. When he's some other temple, I don't like. That is sectarian. Imagine your boss comes to your neighbor's house and he says, Pani to dena, matlab mere ghar pe to aana. I'll serve you. You are my master. But within the walls of my house. Outside I don't know who are you. Within the walls of my temple, within the walls of my country, within the walls of my social circle, outside I don't know what are who are. That is sectarianism. That is leading to so many quarrels among spiritual societies, among devotees, among sampradayas, among temples, among organizations, among countries, and the whole society is invisibly being divided into such faiths. between religions. There are boundaries to countries which are visible. There are boundaries to nations which are visible. And they fight over it, like India, Pakistan. But there are more powerful invisible boundaries based on such sectarianism. And there are fights over it. Of course, as neophyte devotees, we follow our spiritual master, who may give instructions appearing to be different from other spiritual master or other acharya. Without disrespecting others' instructions, we should follow instructions given by our spiritual master. But we should not disrespect or deride or even in our heart think that this person is doing different, so that is not devotional service. We cannot understand another's devotional service. We cannot understand any Vaishnava. Difficult to understand our devotional service. Whether we are chanting or sleeping, we don't know. Somebody else knows it. And he wakes us up. We say, no, I was not sleeping, I was chanting. It's difficult to understand whether we are chanting or sleeping. So we should never misunderstand others' devotional service. Some devotee may not be in dhoti kurta. He may not be in this tilak. He may be in pant shirt. He may be chanting in a different way. He may be worshipping in a different way, which may not borrow for ourselves, which may reject for our practice, but we should not misunderstand that he is not a devotee. If Sukhdeva Goswami comes here in his own attire, the security will kick him out. We will say, hey, khon aa gaya? Kapda bhi nahi pehna? Itne dino se nahaya bhi nahi? So, he is not initiated also. He is with Sampradaya. But he is a great devotee of the Lord. We will not be able to identify. Or Prahlad Maharaj in his 5-year-old body, Hiranyakashipu's son, will not be able to identify. Or Garuda eating meat, eating snakes, not following 4 regulative principles, not allowed. There are so many such things. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, there was Pundraka Vidyanidhi, a very great devotee. And Mukunda told Gadadhar, let us meet a great Vaishnava. Gadadhar was so happy. He went and met. But when he saw Pundraka Vidyanidhi, externally, he appeared to be a big sense gratifier, having lots of luxury, having 2 servants fanning him, eating paan, and spitting in golden bowls, sitting on nice sofa, nice cushions, and wearing silk clothes, and having so much perfume and oil on his head. And he appeared to be a big sense gratifier. And Gadadhar Pandit had a thought. He said, Mukunda told me that we are going to meet a Vaishnava, but he is not a Vaishnava. And Mukunda understood Gadadhar's thoughts. He started chanting the shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just by one glorification of Krishna, Pundraka Vidyanidhi got such a big transformation that he tore his clothes, he threw his bowls, he broke his sofa, he started rolling on ground, there were hairs standing on his body, there were shivering in his body, he was jumping up and down, tears from his eyes. My God, such a transformation in 1 second. Such a pure love of Krishna. And when Gadadhar Pandit saw this, he came to his senses. He said, I did a big offense. And the only solution, I should take initiation from Pundraka Vidyanidhi. So we should not judge devotees. Of course, for our association, whom to associate, whom not to associate, we have to identify some characteristics of a devotee. Being in sadhana bhakti, all have to follow the rules and regulations. But within our hearts, we should be very broad-minded. We should not put Krishna into a sectarian position. We should not put Krishna into a group. And we should not be envious of other group of Vaishnavas or other group of devotees or other group of transcendentalists. We can cooperate, very nice. If we cannot cooperate, at least we should not be an obstacle. If we can understand, very nice. If we cannot understand, at least do not misunderstand. Leave it. Pray to Krishna for everybody's welfare. We should be friendly to all living entities. Should be respectful to all Vaishnavas. And we should be attached to Krishna. One who is attached to Krishna cannot disrespect other devotees. One who loves Krishna cannot be unfriendly to other living entities. So this much we should carry. So what Lord Shiva is doing is glorifying Krishna. And what we have to do is glorify Krishna. We may not chant what Lord Shiva is chanting, but we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because that is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is told by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada mentions minimum 16 rounds. So we chant minimum 16 rounds. Four regulative principles, Mangala Arati, whatever is mentioned, we do that. So if anybody is chanting some other mantra, we cannot say that is wrong. If somebody is spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, coming in a proper sampradaya, is giving some other mantra, we cannot tell him, oh, you reject this mantra and you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is not preaching. We cannot tell anybody to reject a spiritual master. Even if chanting some other mantra, even if practicing Krishna consciousness in a different way, even if worshipping a different avatar of the Lord. Just like Murari Gupta, he is so much devoted to Ram, Lord Ramchandra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually tried. He told him, you forget the Ram business. You come to Krishna. You worship Krishna. And Murari Gupta said, yes, yes, I will obey you. But whole night he couldn't sleep. Next day morning he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, I cannot disobey you. But I have already given my life to Ram, I cannot take it back. So the only way is I commit suicide. So please give me permission, I'll jump in the Ganges and commit suicide. He was true. He has given his life to Ram. He cannot go to Ram and say, give me back. He's already given. But he cannot disobey Mahaprabhu, who told him to worship Krishna. So Mahaprabhu said, I was just testing you. You passed with distinction. The 100% result, you passed. You are a pure devotee of Ram. You don't have to disturb your faith towards Ram. You are Ram Das. And he explained. There is no sectarianism there. Like this, there are so many instances. We perform devotions in one way. Somebody else may perform in the other way. But he has pure love for God. Those who are servants of Krishna, when they see the coward boys of Krishna jumping on his back, they cannot start arguing with him. Said, you fool, you idiots, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead and you are wrestling with him, such a big offense. You are touching your feet on his shoulder, you are giving your jutta. Can they do that? No. Can the servants of Krishna go to Yashoda Maiya and say, hey, you are taking a stick and running behind God? It is offense. You go to Naraka. No. Even among these Vaishnavas who are Raganuga, they have different approach towards Krishna. And they cannot be compared. So we should be very broad-minded, respecting, but following our own principles. We cannot deviate. Whatever our Acharya has given, we cannot deviate, thinking that is also right. That is right. But for us, this is right. Just like a small child, when he goes to school and he purchases a new bicycle, the father shows him one road. He said, beta, go through this road and come through this road. There may be 10 other roads to go to school. But father tells you, use this road, don't deviate. Once you are mature enough, you can take other roads. But as of now, take only this road. In the same way, there may be many ways to serve Krishna. But we are child. And Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, and his followers, they have given us one road. There may be 100 other roads, 100 ways to serve Krishna, but we are supposed to follow that road. The other road may be right, but for us it is wrong. We follow our road, because our father has told us. There may be dangers on other road which we are not aware. And unaware, if we go on dangerous path, it will be deviation. It will be an accident. An accident means sinful activity. So that disobedience of the father, even though going on the right road, will be considered wrong. So we have one road, we follow that, we chant the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we worship the deities as we do it in ISKCON, we follow the regulative principles, and that is how we achieve Lord Krishna. At the same time, we respect all Vaishnavas, all living entities who are serving Krishna, who have love for Krishna. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupad ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions we can take or comments.
Hare Krishna Guruji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you Guruji for the lecture. Guruji, I just want to ask that, definitely mercy is something which can be said to be causeless. Okay, but even to understand that it is causeless, you require the steps of cause and effect.
You require?
The steps of cause and effect. Otherwise, we won't be ever inquiring also about the transcendence. Until and unless we face problems, we won't be ever putting ourselves into the transcendental inquiry position. And until and unless we inquire, we won't be able to understand what transcendence is, first thing. Second thing, even Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says to Arjuna that because you are my devotee, because. Okay, so I am telling this knowledge to you, not without cause. This one, and apart from it, throughout, definitely, when you are crossing the material world, the laws of cause and effect, they totally get eliminated, and you are talking about transcendental things only. But at least so long as we are in the material world, this cause and effects, they are there at different levels. They are there at different levels. So we can't deride this particular aspect of cause and effect.
If you have understood this causeless mercy, then you have not started it. That is the meaning of causeless. It cannot be fit into cause and effect. Otherwise, why the word causeless will be there? That event in our life, which has very low probability, but still it happens. Probability tends to zero, but still it happens. It's called causeless. It's called causeless mercy.
The point which I am mentioning is that the success of cause and effect relationship is to understand that mercy is causeless. That's what I am saying. I am not denying that aspect. But what I am telling is, if we don't have a Rath Yatra only, then we can't expect that somebody may come. Because Rath Yatra is there, only few people come. Why? The Lord Narad Muni, he told the transcendental knowledge to Prahlad Maharaj also and to his mother also directly. But only Prahlad Maharaj, he got the transcendental knowledge, not his mother.
That's causeless. That you are giving a right example.
I am giving the right example. Let's
so, okay, tell me, why did Kayadhu didn't got? Because he was in female body? Because he slept?
That's the question.
Prahlad Maharaj slept in the womb itself anyway.
Transcendental knowledge is given to everybody in general by the Lord only. But thing is only to accept it. How
the seed fructify in different living entities in the same circumstances of Krishna consciousness. In same circumstances of Krishna consciousness, in different living entities, the seed fructify in a different way. It takes different time in everybody's heart to fructify. Right? But that cannot be because of sinful activities or pious activities. That cannot be any material cause to it. What is the cause that Mrighari met Narad Muni? What is the cause that Prahlad Maharaj met Narad Muni? What is the cause of I picked up a Bhagavad Gita in my library? If I had not got admission in IIT, I would not become a devotee. Or if IIT was not in Powai, it would not become a devotee. I'm not a devotee. I'm just giving an example. So what is the cause of you pick up a Bhagavad Gita? What is the cause of this? It's only Krishna's mercy. It's Prabhupada's desire which has manifested his ISKCON. It's Prabhupada's desire which has Rath Yatra. It is not any Rath Yatra chairman. I mean, he respected. It's Prabhupada's desire by which all the living entities could come for this Rath Yatra. The only cause, if you can ascertain, of bhakti, is bhakta. Is a person who has devotion in his heart and he wants to give it to outsiders. What is the cause that hippies came in contact with prayer devotee right in New York? Indians are more fortunate, no? They should come in contact. There is no cause. It's clear Prabhupada's desire. It's clear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. There is no cause. And that is inspired by Krishna. Sadhana bhakti, yes, we do it with our body, our efforts, etc. But the result is by Krishna's mercy. The preaching is by pure devotees' compassion and desire. We are all instruments. Today this mic will say, because of me so much lecture happened. If I was not there, only 10 people would have heard. Do you buy this argument? Because it's cause and effect. You are hearing the speaker, not me. So you got knowledge because of speaker? That one? No. Where is the speaker? That one? Which one you got? Which one gave you knowledge today? No. No. No, you are not getting. This is, you are again giving a technology which is based on cause and effect. We are talking about transcendence. You cannot explain transcendence which is beyond material world with a material world example. We can discuss this. Everybody get involved here. Yeah.
It is said bhakti is causeless. But it is said that Krishna is the cause of all causes. So don't you think that Krishna himself is the cause of bhakti?
Yeah, Krishna is cause of all causes, but he's not part of the material world. Krishna is cause of all causes, he's not part of the material world. What is cause of Krishna? Krishna is causeless. So if Krishna is cause of bhakti, it becomes causeless, no? Krishna is causeless? Yes or no? Yes or no? Or don't know? Krishna is causeless. There is no cause for Krishna. And if Krishna is cause of bhakti, then bhakti's cause is causeless. Krishna is equal to causeless.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, one more question. Sorry.
Yeah.
This fourth canto, it said creation of fourth order. Can you throw some light on what is fourth order?
Because already first, third orders are over. The first creation is creation of Brahma. Then the second generation of creation, Narad Muni, Kumaras, Munis. And then it goes on. So this has come till Prachetas, who are going to create further, Daksha and all. That will be fifth generation. Prachetas, third, fourth. Okay? Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki Hare Krishna.